Now, this is our month of consecration. The year is deemed as divine life. My light is shining. And on Sunday, we had a word that was titled Positioned for Good Works. And I was trusting God that I'll have the privilege to continue today. So at least we can make a few things a bit clear. Hallelujah. And that desire has been granted for the expectation of the righteous man shall be cut off. Amen. Hallelujah. And one of the things that was very clear in the teaching on Sunday was that this is a year of influence. It's a year of influence. And one of the things we understood was that there's a system God has put in place, and that system is that you live by giving. You live by giving. And we had a very simple example that will help us appreciate that concept. And we're talking about how we breathe in, we inhale oxygen, and then we exhale carbon dioxide. Amen. And what comes out of us as more or less like a waste product is a treasured asset of the plants. And we said that supposing all human beings came together, and then we said that no, the plants have cheated us for too long, so we are no longer going to give out carbon dioxide, so we're going to block our nodes. And we said that means that we are going. Amen. So we live by giving. And one statement that came out very strongly was that the anointing of God is not for keeps but for use. It's not for keeps, it's for use. So we were created, or we are created by God to be a blessing. Every one of us here are very important to God when it comes to God's purpose, God's mission, God's program. Work is not an abomination to God. Work, or let me say, labor is not an abomination to God. But labor outside the program of God, that one is not a blessing. That is where labor is in. Labor is when you are working within the confines of God's program for your life, is a blessing. But when labor is outside the confines of God's program for your life, it is a curse. So God is not against work. Spirituality does not mean you should not work. It doesn't mean that you should lock yourself up in the room and lift your eyes to the heavens and be praying and praying and praying that the money will drop from the skies and land before you. The way God designed the earth is such that there must be seed time and there must be harvest. There must be seed time, there must be harvest. So whatever thing that you're doing, whether you're doing ministry or you are doing what pertains to trade itself, whether it's services that you're rendering or it's products that you're producing, the way the system works is that something must leave you for somebody to leave somebody to you. What nothing will come to you if nothing has not left you to somebody. You have no right to desire and demand anyone to give to you when you have not given. So when you're a pastor, you're a minister of the gospel, you are in a business. It's not a business that you are selling the anointing, but that you are investing so much in your walk with God that your anointing is so potent that Christ can easily use that anointing upon your life and affect lives. When lives are affected, when people are blessed, they bless you. But when you are not a blessing, you cannot be blessed. It's a simple thing. Yes, you sow your seeds, you give your tithe, you do all of that. The heavens are heavy. Rain is going to come down, but there's no seed in the ground. There's no seed in the ground, there can be harvest. And so it's not easy to be a pastor. Praise God. Except you are offering. If you have gone to add something. But even to sit, people of God, to sit down on God's word and receive a message, not write a sermon, receive a message from God for his people. It's not for lazy people. It's hard work, it's labor. Sometimes you sit on the word of God, if it were just your own personal reading, you have finished a long time. But God's precious people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, you cannot come and give them something that you are thinking. You give them what God is saying. And it's not a joke. So every work, as long as within God's purpose for your life, requires labor. What am I trying to say here? You have to understand, people of God, that you are here for a purpose. You are here for a kingdom agenda. Everything you are doing must glorify God and must be an avenue by which the kingdom of God can colonize the realm where you find yourself. Jesus must permeate every space of men. Jesus must be Lord in every place you find yourself. When you stand in any place, whatever you are doing, and Jesus' Lordship cannot be felt and sensed through you, you are not living within mission. And that's why we're talking about the fact that there is something we have received called divine life, and that divine life must be distributed. It must be administered. That's why my light is shining. It's not my influence. When there's light in a room, you're not the only person that enjoys it. Every person in that room enjoys it. Every person in that room gets delivered from the tyranny of darkness. That's how it is like. So you're not going to wait for a clerical to be relevant in God's program. As soon as you become born again, and that's what I read in the book of Ephesians 2 verse 10. We're going to read there again. That you are created. You are God's masterpiece. God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You are relevant. Tell your neighbor you are relevant in God's program. You don't need a theology course to do that. All you need is to be born again and you have divine life. You are relevant in God's agenda. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not a biological accident. God beforehand prepared you to the point that he even determined your function and determined your portfolio before you are released. That is how important you are to God. And that is why it is devilish to look down on yourself. Don't you ever look down upon yourself. Don't you ever let anybody do anything to make you think that you are useless. You are very useful in God's agenda. You are so useful. It's not because you have a first degree. No, because you are born again. Period. You are born again. Say, I'm born again. Say, I'm born again. I have divine life. So I'm very useful. You don't need to do a PhD like Dr. Josh is doing. His assignment requires he must do that. Yeah, we are not competing with him. Amen. Praise God. You go and do it. You come and teach us. We read the Bible to you. You read it. You get everything. Yeah. Genosco and things. You say that one. Obiane level. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I am useful in God's agenda. I am useful in God's agenda. I am important in God's program. I'm a partner with God in fulfilling his divine desire. Yes, I'm so relevant. I'm so relevant. I'm so relevant. I'm so relevant. Hey, Isaiah, I'm so relevant in God's agenda. I'm so relevant. I'm so important. I'm so important. I may not command the crowd, but I'm so important. I don't know about I sent by the Spirit of God to repeat that statement again and again. Because the devil has succeeded in making a lot of us fight God. We fight God. How do we fight God? We fight God by telling God what we think we are that goes against what he designed us to be. You are relevant. You are relevant. You may not have had a spectacular conversion, but you are born again. Are you with me? You are birth of God. Amen. And so we were talking about a fact from the scriptures that there's a need for us to learn to position ourselves so that these good works that we made. Let's go to that scripture so that we refresh our mind of scripture. Ephesians 2 verse number 10. Ephesians 2 verse number 10. If it's there, can we all read it together? Let's go. Hallelujah. So we were created in Christ Jesus, right? We are God's workmanship created in a certain studio called Christ. Amen. The new creation is Jesus. And we all are in him. It's something you have to understand. The new creation is Jesus. Now, if you hear new creation, it means there's an old creation. Is that okay? And we'll talk about it a little bit. But remember that I read also from the book of Matthew, chapter number 1. And going down there, we read a few beautiful stuff there. That Jesus Christ had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration. And when he came down, there's an event happening downstairs. What was happening there, disciples were trying to solve a problem. And they failed woefully. And then Jesus comes and just in some few minutes, he resolves the issue. And then they come to him secretly and say, sir, please, please. How come we could not make you proud in this situation? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Amen. And we also read on Sunday from the book of John, chapter number 14, verse 12. Very, very important scripture. Can we see it? John 14, verse number 12. John 14, verse number 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we read it together? Let's go. Most assuredly. Can we do the King James? I'd like to hear the verily, verily. Good. Let's go together. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on who? Come on who? What will happen then? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the name of Jesus. You know something I like about Smith Wigglesworth and most of the fathers of the faith who moved the world and made the world bow to Jesus. They were so raw. They were so raw. They were so raw. If they picked the word of God and God did this, that's what they believe. And that is it. That's as it is. They have no time for any. But our generation has so much revelation that we cannot even heal an ant. Deep, wild revelation. We are no wow in our world. These fathers, they knew what it meant to organize themselves for God to use at a dimension that made the world scared. When I heard that story about John Knox, it shook me. And the Queen of Scotland said, I fear no man on this earth. I fear no man. No one in this kingdom. Nobody can scare me. But the only man I'm afraid of, John Knox and his prayer. A queen that has access to an army is afraid of one man who kneels down. He's afraid of. Come on, people of God. You know, it's important that as believers, we go and check the book of Acts of the Apostles and see our real DNA. And then take some step further and you know, come upward. Read history, how the church did to the world. Then when you know history and you now compare with your now, then you can be sad with the holy sadness. But when you don't know your roots, any fruit is okay for you. A pro said they were foul. Are you following me of God? So once in a while, I'll try and see if I can get one of these, you know, history books on the testimony of some of the great saints, the PDF, and put on the church page. So what we'll do is that every week we say, let us all read about this man. These are mortal men. If we go to the Bible, we say, well, it's Bible days. So we'll get people that you know, did some things. And we'll get those that right now are making the world shake. So when you read, then you now ask yourself, do they have two heads? That's why when James was writing, he said that Elijah was a man of like passion like us. Because what that guy did, you might think that no, he was a spirit. He said, no, he's a man with the same weakness we have. But he prayed, there will not be rain. And there was no rain. He prayed again, rain came. A rich great grandson who does not know his rich lineage will live poor. That's why the Bible is so keen about genealogy. In the book of Matthew, let's go there. That's the place we all run. When you get there, you jump in, then you move to the next chapter. It's very, please give us Matthew chapter 1. We jump in right now. Hey, what is there? Beget, what begets? What are we begetting for? Hallelujah. Look at it. Look at this. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He wants you to know where this man is coming from. Are you here with me? Is it Christ's roots? Abraham is mentioned there because God had promised Abraham that through thy seed, we can dwell on this David and Abraham for 1 week and we'll not finish. You see kingship there. Abraham is mentioned. So let's understand this book, Jews, look at it carefully. This is your roots. He's also a Jew. He's the king you're expecting. He still could not see it. Then goes to the next verse. Then announced that Abraham begets Isaac. Isaac begets Jacob. Jacob begets Judah. That's Judah, okay? And his brethren, that is Judah, and his the scepter shall not depart out of Judah until Shiloh comes. So you see him there. He's not the firstborn, but by divine arrangement. Judah beget. Give us the new King James. So that the wound start biting our tongue. Give us new King James. Judah begot Perez. Not Perez Chapel, but Perez. And Zara by Tamar. You begin to realize how grace is working here. Tamar is not meant to be here, but is here. What have you done that you think God will not accept you? Tama is in that genealogy. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. It's not an animal. Ram is a name. Ram begot Aminadab. Aminadab begot Nashon. Nashon begot Salmon. Not your Indian name. Salmon begot Boaz. Ah, Boaz by Rahab. How can Rahab be here? You know Rahab? That lady had a house on that wall. It was, you know, you come, you pay, and then you go, and you come out, and you are happy. Rahab, city reception man. Let me say she's a city receptionist. Front desk administrative officer. I don't know. Post me you do. Rahab is here, people of God. How far have you gone away from God and think God will not accept you? Rahab is on this list. There's a reason. Boaz be God, Obed. By Ruth, she was not a Jew. She wasn't a Jew. All she did was that, Naomi, your God be my God. I have seen something about you. I'd rather connect. That is how that we who Gentiles were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel by Christ, we have been engrafted into the body. And now we are part of that vine. That is how. When I see Ruth, I see myself in you. Obed be God, Jesse. Yeah, for good works, man. Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon. As our scripture, we in 1996, Bishop preached a message, The Scars of Iniquity. Hey, that message, when my pastor was finished that day, the whole church was quiet. That's how we closed and went home quiet. Because the way Papa preached that word, everybody was quiet. The scar, now look at it. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. But I thought it was God that said, your sins I remember no more. God says, your sins I remember no more. Glory to God. just say Bathsheba, put her name. They refuse to put her name. They want us to know, by her who had been. Be careful whose wife you are going for. What else I forget? This is why you don't have to choose anybody. Let God help you. I'm not saying you went on an adultery relationship. No. But you pick a wife that is not yours. You get a point. And you accept a husband that is not a head. Not every husband is a head. Or not every man is a head. If you pick the wrong man, you'll be a head. He will head you. The roots. Are you with me, people of God? Amen. So, Jesus Christ is saying that. We're not going to continue. It's okay. Jesus Christ is saying that. This works you see me do. If you believe in me, you will do them to start with. And then greater works than these shall you do. Because I go to the Father. Why? When he goes to the Father, then the helper will come. And when the helper comes, he will not just be with you, he's going to be in you. So Jesus Christ in the book of Luke in chapter number 24, 45, 48, thereabout, or 49, 49, I'm sure, 49, he said that, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are endued and you know, you are clothed with power from on high. So you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts 1 verse number 8, and then you shall be my witnesses. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is that agency. He's the agency by which you can do the works that Christ did and do greater than that. Are you here with me? So you can see Jesus Christ in the similitude of David. He kills Goliath but leaves the armies of Goliath for Israel. Do you understand me? Do you understand that story? Oh, you don't remember that story? In 1 Samuel chapter 16. Is it 16? Is it 16? Is it 16? Check for me. Is it 16? It should be 16. All right, so let me refresh your mind since some of you have not read your Bible to that point yet. You're reading the Bible through the years, so you're still in the Genesis. So there is a battle between Israel and the Philistines. And the Philistines have a warrior called Goliath, huge giant who's experienced in battle, been fighting since when he was a young man. And he comes with a proposal and says, Israel, what's it going to do? We don't want to waste time. 17, yes, sir. 16 was when he was anointed. Good, so 17. So Goliath brings a proposal. So let's not waste time here. Let's not worry ourselves meeting and fighting. We're wasting time. Me, I'm a champion. I represent the Philistines. So when you look at me, all the Philistines are in me. I wish you love your Bible. By now you'd have caught something else. What I said. So as Goliath is standing there, he's not just one man. He stands for a whole nation. He's a representative. They are all in him, just like we all were in Adam. But we could not say anything when you're sitting the fruit. So he's standing there and he says, so bring one man too that represents the entire of Israel. And we're going to go in a battle. Whichever of us that wins means that you, this nation, has won. So one person's victory is a nation's victory. One man's defeat is a nation's defeat. Are you with me? And then David comes online. We're fast forwarding the story. And then combats with Goliath and drops the guy down with stone and sling. Such a great insult. Based on the CV of Goliath, that is great insult. Stone, catapult, idikumanuma. A giant comes down. Why? Because David releases his secret. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. So Goliath was seeing one man. But the rest of the spirit, it was this guy who had been wrapped up inside the Lord of God of hosts. So when his hands were small, but when in the rest of the spirit, when he threw the thing, it was God throwing the stone. Couldn't miss his target. And as my dad would say, when the stone hit his forehead, instead of going backward, by reason of the force that came, he had to apologize before he died. Because the Bible says, every knee shall bow. So when the thing hit the head, by instead of going back, he was going to say, come on, master, apologize before you die. The guy knelt down and then, I'm very sorry, I did not mean to do this. If I had known what was coming against, I wouldn't have even spoken a word. And then he falls down. And then David goes, takes out his own sword, and then cuts his head and lifts the head. Then the Philistines are running. People of God, this is the point here. David has won the victory. It means Israel has won the victory, but Israel had to pursue. There are goods that have been kept by the Philistines. Yes, David has won means Israel has won, but the winning did not transfer the goods to them. This is what Christianity is about. Jesus has won, has cut the head of the devil, but by the Spirit of God, we learn how to pursue and gather the spoils. That's it. I cannot just say, I'm born again, and you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't do any of these things. Yes, you have won. The land has been given, but you have not taken possession. Are you saying the whole thing here? Praise God. So Jesus Christ has dealt with Goliath. He had dealt with the devil. For this reason, the Son of God made manifest that he would destroy the works of the devil. But we have a work of gathering. We have a work of laying claim on what Christ has legally purchased for us. I don't know why I'm going this direction, but just take it. Is it okay? Hello, Sandra. How are you doing? I'm fine, sir. Okay, so I have bought a car for you. I've sent the receipt by a dispatch rider to you. So make sure you take the receipt and then go to the garage where I bought it and lay claim on what I've bought. Sandra is excited by the news. That's one step. The delivery guy gets to the gate. She has to maintain communication to ensure that what has been sent reaches her. That's why you must stay in prayer. You must stay in the word. The next joy is that she receives the receipt and she's excited, and then that is all. She's excited. She has a receipt. Receipt is not a car. The purpose of the receipt is to use that as an evidence that this item has been purchased for you, and it is the instrument by which you lay claim to now experience a ride in a new car. So there are many of us that are born again. We have the legal papers to show we are born again. The unbeliever dies of malaria, you die of malaria. Because the receipt in a hand will not be free trotro. So you will kill like the unbelievers, but you're a believer. You are a car owner, but there's no car to show. So you join them to kill. You join us in the trotro. You join them to fight for space, but you're a car owner. How do you change that reality? You change that reality by going to the place where the car is, and then you place that document there, and then you lay hold on that car. When you now lay hold on that car, now there's a difference between an owner of a car and the one that has money for trotro. Are you here with me? So when the Holy Ghost comes, you do these things. Now, quickly. So Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. I see you doing the works of Jesus and greater works than this." So he's killed Goliath. He's dealt the devil. Anything that the activities of the devil cost, you have been anointed to recover them. You have been anointed to rearrange them. You've been anointed to clean the mess. That's the work you have. That's the work I have. Are you following me? That's the work I have. So, the work of the devil through deception, the Garden of Eden, that brought, allowed, or released the consequence of sicknesses and disease and pain. Now, Jesus has arrested the devil, emptied him of power, and now has given us a document and said that all power in heaven and on heaven and earth are with me. Now go in my name. So you and I are supposed to take that name. That is why Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have." What Christ gave me was not gold. He gave me something more than gold. His name, which is infused with all the powers of the ages to come and now. And that power in his name is able to reverse anything that the actions of rebellion cost. Poverty is one of those consequences. Anxiety. Delays. Wickedness. So people of God, what it means is this. If we don't do the works, people can't experience the reality of what Christ has done. We are the ones to let everybody know that Jesus died and rose. He is alive indeed. What he did was true. We are meant to be true witnesses. So greater works than these shall you do. That when you will speak, a dead spirit will come alive. That's being born again. Why are you so excited to celebrate a dead man come back to life? And don't realize that a dead spirit came back to life. It's more of a complex miracle. Do you understand what I'm saying? A sinner is dead. He's a corpse. He's a zombie. And then you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to that person. And that spirit received God's life. Is the greatest miracle than a dead body. A dead body simply means that it's a house that has lost its owner or has lost an occupant. Do you get the point? Yeah, a dead body means that, you see, when my spirit leaves this body is gone. I am not this body. So when there's a separation of the real me from this container, that is what is called death. You understand? Now, returning somebody to a container, that's equation one. Equation two, the real person who is dead come alive, which one is more powerful? The spirit that was dead is now alive, is more powerful than returning the soul back to the body. That a person is held in the is held in sin and his destination is hell, and you preach the gospel, it snatched the person from hell and now makes that person who was an enemy of God to become a child of God, is a huge thing. Greater works than this shall you do. How do we position for this? Now, number one, you must know who you are. I'm dwelling on the Ephesians 3 verse 10. 2 verse 10. Take us back there. You must know who you are. You are not a name that was given to you at birth. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How were we created? We were birthed by God. Can we reread some scriptures? Will it help us? Are you still here with me? Or not? Give us John chapter 1 and verse number 11, 12, and 13. Quickly. Let's do it in the Message translation. All right, can we read it together? But whoever did want him, are you still here? Can we get one to go? Who believed he was who he claimed and will do what he said, he made to be their true selves, their child of God selves. Verse number 13. 13. Let's read together. These are the God begotten, not blood begotten, not flesh begotten, nor sex begotten. In simple terms, their birth was not by an agreement between a man who has a seed and a woman that has an egg. But their birth was by a Father God that so loved them and brought an incorruptible seed. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Give us 1 Peter 1, 23. Are you still following? We're talking about who you are. And I'm looking at it from the light of your birth. Okay, so we're going to do the New King James and then perhaps do Message and TPT if it's possible. It says, having been born what? Not of water, but through which lives and abides forevermore. Now give us the Message translation quickly. Let's go together. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think it, a life conceived by God himself. Do you see that? Or are you seeing that? I told them at Green Pastures yesterday that I told them what I've been telling you. When I finished, they were shouting and shouting amen. But you hear it, I told them that learn to talk in church. Don't be quiet. Learn to. So that's why you see that we're preaching. Say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's not that I want your attention alone. In the new creation, your mouth, your words are your hands and your feet. When you don't talk, you don't move. You don't talk, you don't leave. Are you here with me? So you answer, it helps you. It doesn't help the teacher, it helps you. Are you here with me? Yeah. Don't become a lazy hearer. Be an active hearer. Don't tell me it's soaking. What is soaking? Let me quote the message to you. In the secret, when Adam is releasing the seed to Eve, does Eve keep quiet? Because the release of the seed comes by pleasure. And pleasure is not in quietness. If you're not married, you understand, you get married. When God is mating with his children, there is a sound of praise that comes from them. And when God is pleased, a seed is dropped. These things are spiritual. You don't understand. They're called a rough. You will miss revelations. Do you understand what I said? You're laughing. Pastor Josh, you realize that you have better revelation when you get married. You understand? You understand why God allowed us to marry. See, marriage is a class. It's a class to explain to you the union between Christ the head and his... You understand it until you marry. So you just go and be there, be married because you are feeling lonely. Or you want to enjoy your life. You miss the class. It's a class. Are you here with me? You are born by the seed of God, the word of God. Hallelujah. That's how you are created. When the incorruptible word of God came by the gospel that Paul says, I'm not ashamed about, for it is the power of God to salvation. When that seed comes to you, and then by the organ of the heart, you received to believe. You receive by believing. In the kingdom, you receive by believing. Hallelujah. And then you experience by speaking. So with the heart, a man believes on the righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made on salvation. Hello. And so when that word came, it's a mysterious thing that happened right there. That you, the old man that was called Isaiah, now when that word comes to you, oh God. So what am I trying to say? When you receive that word and you are birthed of God, that old man, like Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, is it 2? Verse 20? Is that so? That old you died. It can be traced again. Then there's this new you that has a divine life. The DNA that is in this one is not the DNA that was in that one that died. Are you here with the word of God? Now this is who you are. You are born by God. You are birthed by God. What is in God is in you. Your identity is Christ Jesus. Your identity is God. Hallelujah to Jesus. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is who you are. You're not a Ghanaian. The container is Ghanaian packaged, but the content is heavenly packaged. As the will of God, one of the prayers I'm praying for all of us this year is that the Lord will grant us insight. I was sharing on the AC today. A scripture I saw this morning, I'm like, wow, this is beautiful. Give me 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Quickly, and I come back to this. Are you still following? Are you still here? You are created by God. You are birthed by God. God gave birth to you. I know you still have the beards and your hair is wonderful. You are created by God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. You may still have the same constitution outwardly, but inwardly you are different content. Created in Christ. He said, give us verse 6. I think it's verse 5. Give me verse 5. Let me see verse 5. Verse 5. Woo! Now give me the NIV. Give me the NIV. I was looking at the scripture and I saw something beautiful. So Paul is talking to them, says that because our gospel came to you simply, not came to you not simply with words, but also with what? Power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. If the ministry God has given us be effective, we need these three things. In addition to the word. Now look at this. He says what? That part, deep conviction. Some of us don't have conviction of Christ though. He did not just say conviction, but deep conviction. When you have deep conviction of Christ, nobody can get you out of church until God says move to another place. Deep conviction. When you have deep conviction, there is nothing that will happen around you that will make you alter your faith. And deep conviction is not head knowledge. Deep conviction. Give me 1 John, verse 1. Michael, do you believe you are a man? Then you are not a man. You don't need faith to know you are a man. Do you get my point? I don't believe I'm a man. I'm a man. It's not a believing matter. It is. Do you understand me? If you believe you are a man, then it means you were a woman before. Oh, are you here with me? If I tell you, do you believe this thing is in front? You said yes. It's not a matter of faith. It is a reality. It's here. It's a reality. It's here. It's here. It is. Not shall be or want to be. I believe means that there's still a certain level of process to manifestation. This is. That's why the Bible says, God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, he is not was or is trying to be, is. Now, this is what the apostle says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. This is deep conviction. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. There is an encounter that gives no room to doubt. That's what light is about. There is no shadow of turning. There's no doubt. There's no shadow at all. There's no shadow anywhere. It's a reality. It's a reality. Deep conviction comes by experience and encounters. Check out Paul the Apostle. It's going to be a shipwreck. The guy gets to say, you know what? Chill. Nobody's dying. The one whose I am, who I serve, spoke to me tonight. So we are all cool. A man with deep conviction does not need encouragement. He may not have read it again, but it's no longer an issue that he has to read to know. The knowing is in that you have to read it from him. You see, do you get it? Deep conviction. You must be deeply convinced about who you are. I am born of God. I am born of God. I know it. Pastor Jess, ginosko is what? Complete knowledge? And what is epignosis? Okay. Please bring mic. The doctor is speaking. I need it to do something. Hurry up. Where's the mic? Bring mic. Say, I am born of God. Shout it, I'm born of God. Oh, I can't hear from Pastor Bassi's church. Oh, Pastor Bassi, your churchy. I'm born of God. These are the things you must dwell on them till it becomes a well in you. Yes, sir.
So, the first one, gnosis. Gnosis is scientific knowledge.
Okay.
Knowledge that you can search to get.
Okay.
Ginosko is revelation.
Ah.
Epignosis is actually supposed to be from epi, which is a prefix.
Okay.
And then ginosko.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is the revelation that becomes part of you.
Hey.
The revelation that you live.
Mm.
Not the revelation that you know. So, revelation means something is covered.
Mm-hmm.
Now you find out.
Yes.
You are amazed by that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still information.
Yes.
So in one sense, it is still gnosis.
Yes.
It is still, so it's like somebody getting a religious knowledge.
Yeah.
It's opened for you.
Yeah.
The same way somebody finds a scientific discovery.
Yeah.
Epignosko.
Hmm.
rather is that that new knowledge that you discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Now you become that very thing.
You become it.
You become it.
So you become it.
It's not what you know.
Mm.
Even though the best word,
yeah,
word we can use in English is know.
Yeah.
But now it is what you have become.
Mm. So could I? What you have become by what you know. So we could say that, and the word became flesh and dwelt. So the word has now become flesh. It has mingled with you. You are now one with that word. It has taken over you. That now you are now the word. They look for the word. They find you. They find you. They find the word. I and my Father are one. Do you get the whole idea here, beloved God? You must know who you are. If there's anything the devil wants to do, is to ask you if you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. So he's trying to tell you that your definition is in your actions. You understand? That until you do, you are not. But I am, that's why I do. So I don't have to do for you to know who I am. For the past weeks, God has been telling me, Isaiah, your greatest asset in this kingdom is light. If you don't get this light, you'll advance in light. You have been brought in the kingdom of light. You must eat light. You must breathe light, else you can't advance in light. But you see, in the world, you need light to advance in darkness. Light. For you to live out the life you have received in the spirit, in this dimension, you need light, light, light. When you stand to pray, how convinced are you about the hearing, the prayer answering God? When you do things with God and you are not doing it from that place of knowing, it becomes religious. I was speaking in tongues recently. I'm like, no, there's more to tongues I need to find out. There's more to tongues I need to find out. I've been doing this for many years, but I've said, no, there's more. Like Apostle Paul, that I've been knowing him after all these years. He said, there's more. That morning, I got a couple of books on praying the Spirit. I have a book by Kenneth Hagin on Beyond the Apartment of. I have all those books, but I felt like I need a book. I just need something. I need somebody's encounter or something. Then that morning, I just went to my phone. I realized that a friend of mine in Dubai has sent me a book, Why Speak in Tongues. And I decided to read and see, okay, what's this old man saying? And I went to the Bible, began to look at all the scriptures on tongue speaking. No, people of God. What I saw in that thing, if you stand like this, and you blow in tongues for 2 hours, in fact, what the Bible trying to say that? In fact, when you are done, if you are sick, you should be healed immediately. But you see, the reason our experiences doesn't tally with the integrity of God's word is because it has not dwelt with us yet. Are you following with me? So it means that there's a need for us to learn how to pick a concept in the kingdom. Don't rush it. Get it. Get it. And you don't get it by wishing. You get it by working it. You are still there. You are talking about it. You are praying about it. You are thinking about it. You are asking questions about it. You are fleshing with it. Until you come to, okay. Hey, when you come to that place, okay, that's how your life will be okay. It's the truth. Like I was sharing with them yesterday about the mystery of worship. The mystery of worship. And the Lord told me to tell them, I said, when you see a saint sing, he's not entertaining. We don't do entertainment in this kingdom. Say, out to me, you have missed it. It's no one pitching, you cry now, it's out to me crying, crying, yeah, but yeah. There's no entertainment in the kingdom. Everything is serious business, everything unveils Christ. It's a mystery. When you don't know, when we are singing, you'll be looking at us.
You dance when you like. You lift hand when you like. You don't have mystery about it. You don't understand what it is. You've not come to that place. Don't let anything you do in the kingdom be done out of ignorance. Very soon you'll be frustrated. Because people be sharing testimony about it. And your whole life, 20 years in the faith, you've never seen a testimony about it before. You start doubting this, but there's something they are adding, they're not telling us. There's something they are adding, they are not telling us. Let's talk to that man. He's not being serious lately. Are you trying to tell me that you just stay in your room and you worship her, and then someone knock at the door and brought you $20,000? It's not possible. That man has done something. Yes, you should. But I tell you, people of God, there's a place you can be with that word. When the word becomes flesh, bam, it brings a fruit. You will see the fruit. When you have received revelation about what fasting can do for you, when you have revelation about what prayer can do for you, your pastor doesn't come and call for an all night. You already have an all night life. Give us Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12. I want us to read something together. Can we read it in the Amplified Classic quickly? So, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that's the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. This thing you see said about the word of God is practically so. Are you with me? One day I had to travel to Takwa. And at that time I didn't have money for flights. And I dare not tell the host that book a flight. They say I'm too low. So, and the day will come when the flight they will have to do it. So we're going to drive from here to Takwa. And that's quite a journey. And after the program in Takwa, I'm supposed to leave immediately because I had 4 conferences in Accra. And before then, I'd done some couple of programs that week. So it had been a very stressful week. So on our way, I began to listen to the messages. And I stumbled this message by Pastor Chris. I've forgotten the title of the message. But it was explaining that very beautiful dimension of that scripture, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And he was saying, as he was teaching the word, that it, don't just see it in the light of, you know, you go look for a place and then you are there retreating, you're waiting on the Lord. He said, those that serve, those that are busy laboring in the house of God, as they are serving, that's how their strength is renewing. The longer they stay in serving, the younger they become. I was so tired at the time I was in the message. As soon as that word, I heard it and it opened. Bam! It was as if I had 8 hours sleep. Now, Maxwell, you were with me on that journey, right? You remember that journey? Yeah. We finished the program in Takwa. We set off back in the middle of the bush. That was a very big car. It was a Camry. Big car. The two tires busted. Pa, pa. Front and back. Around 12:30. Midnight. Just myself, Maxwell, Brother Kojo, MJ Grant's brother, and no car was stopping for us. They thought we were robbers. As I knew how Ghana is, you can die. I'd be waving at you. Hello, you're dying. We were there for almost 2 to 3 hours. For one, track man was bold enough to take one of our brethren to the next village. We now got some ties, B, put it in. So by the time we got to Accra, it was time for my first program. So without bathing, I went straight It was Tesano. I stood there, I preached for 1 hour, mommy. Then that day, the oil to do things came. So we did that one quickly. Then we had to rush for 3 other meetings. And I was feeling like I had rested, because that word had opened up to me. So my body was so, there was no energy drink, but I could sense the refreshment. The longer I stayed preaching and ministering, the fresher I felt. It was so practical. That was the day somebody gave me $2,000 for the first time. I don't know the person who did it. Somebody said, I should give it to you, that you've been a blessing this morning. That day, we were on the N1. 2 employees were given to me. I said, Maxwell, the second one, what is it? He said, let me check. He says, sir, $2,000. So, hey, can be a boat break. Me, who be that? Now, imagine that practicality of that word had not entered me. And I say, you know what? Let's call him and tell him that something happened on the road and I can't make it for the meeting. Example 2. A great man of God had an accident and his spinal cord had a problem. And said, this thing there, they don't really know what they can do about it. And then he said he went back home. He said, within 2 or 3 days, he had read over 10 books on healing. He went back, they checked, he said, the thing is still there. He said, I know, it can be. He now went back home again, took a scripture, sat on it for hours. He got back to the hospital. They said, what happened? He said, what happened? He says, I see nothing happened to you. This thing. That's why I had to employ the services of a doctor to explain this Bible. I don't have a natural, I don't have a fake Bible, an automated Bible here. This thing is real. Are you with me? This thing is real. That's what I'm trying to let you know. If this book tells you that you are born of God, that is the truth. Are you with me? That's why I need not beg anybody for financial help. You don't understand? It may sound arrogant, but I have not come to you to give money. Have I come to you to give money? I beg for money. Oh, I don't know if you're getting me. Are you saying this thing? Papa's done. It's what has made you fresh like this. You refuse to grow. This thing. It's the thing. This thing, oh. Our Dave, this thing. It is real. I want you to understand this is real. What we have in this church is the word of God. That's all we have. And that's all we can offer you. If you don't like, then go to Obini. This is what we have for you. If we give you this one, when even we are sleeping, you call. You only call to tell us what you have done with what we give you. So my dear brothers and sisters, be responsible. Take this Bible and sit on it. Don't come to your pastors because you come to tell us what somebody has done to you in church. Come and ask us questions, sir. I was reading Philippians 4 verse 1. But I'm not getting it. And let your pastor take the Bible and go to say, okay, where I've gotten to, let me hand you over to Pastor Stanley, you need an evangelistic view of this scripture. Pastor Stanley is done and say, no, this one, so this is how I see from this point, this is what the Bible is saying. Let's give you a Greek dimension. You use your pastors to grow in the faith, not to talk nonsense. Are you seeing this thing? It will change your character. It will give the right lifestyle, the right attitude. This thing. Permit me, give me some few minutes. Let me finish this with you. This thing, sir, with this we do miracles. With this, reduce the number of hours you spend on social media and start on this. You realize something beautiful. In our days, our devil is social media. My boy did something. This brother. We got him a Bible. I don't know if I said on Tuesday. No, I don't know if I said it. We got my Bible. We tried to get my Bible that you will do. We got my Bible. And so the man reminded me that you have to meet this guy. He has to read it, you know. I said, bro, come here, come here. Yeah. Start from Mark. Mark 16 chapters. So you can start. You want to get the interest, you start going to the other ones. So I put him in my office. So yeah, read. As my father did to me. To read. The culture continues. Read. So after a while, he came and said, he's done. I said, Master, stop that rough. So I put the bar, I started asking him questions. I said, okay, so what's in verse 1? Then I saw the way he was talking. I was, no, I want to pick the Bible back. So this is what he did. The chapter came with headings for each story. So he read the entire chapter, then noted the headings of each of the stories and tagged them in his own language as verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, verse 5. There were 6 stories there. So when I asked, you say, oh, verse 1, you give the title, check the Bible, the exact name. And he had read the thing about 3 hours ago. Now, if this young boy reads the Bible like this, and reads like this, and I'm praying for him, mother is praying for him, we are laying hands on him, he's reading the raw word, he'll now come to the season where the quantity shall become quality. The time is coming in the world that this thing, we can't freely hold it. I receive a prophecy right now. Let's just use the prophecy right now, Pastor Josh. And the prophecy is in the light of what happened to Pharaoh and Joseph. There's going to be 7 years of abundance and 7 years of famine. A time is going to come that the liberty to hold this thing freely, not because they will kill you, but people are going to come from among us that will make the world laugh at this. They will so laugh at it that you look useless. So all of us at this time of plenty, store more. Store more. Because as many that will store more, it will soon ferment. When it ferments, when they speak, they will turn their world to God. Your offerings. Let's go. I encourage you, if you have not bought a new Bible for the year, go and get a new one. Go and get a new Bible. You have what translation is that? Oh boy. Good. See, go and borrow money and buy a Bible and tell the person, I'll return your money with more interests. Give me 1 month and go and eat that Bible. Eat it. And say, Lord, I went to borrow for this. You know, open my eyes. Let me see the thing. I'm making borrow again. Please take some of the money you have on you and go and buy a Bible. And when you buy that Bible, write your name where your name is written. And then write there, new beginning. Start a culture of buying a new Bible every year and make sure by the time the year is ending, you have made this Bible so far. When you make this book so far, you will suffer in life. Oh. Your phone is distracting you. Don't, that's why stop reading the Bible on that phone. Because any small time you are checking Facebook, stop it. Put that phone aside. Buy a Bible like this and sit down and read it. Read it. Get different sizes. The ones you can put in your pocket, the ones you can put in your handbag, the ones you can put in the washroom, so that when you turn your Bible, you turn your Bible, you turn your Bible, you're a Bible person. Let me count yours here. If a doctor must read to be certified as a doctor, why are you not reading the word?